Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our opinion, our opinion, our opinion.
You really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, 'cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, 'cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seeds.
Hello, everyone. This is Lois Bullock, and we're here this evening on Let's Talk Truth, and we're just here for another dynamic show. This show today is a very controversial show, and it leaves a lot of doors open for people to examine their stands in their church vicinity. And also in their walk with Christ, it will kind of make you stop and wonder, am I on the right path? Or, you know, whatever it is that it's going to provoke in you. Hopefully it's going to provoke positive things. Hopefully we won't have anyone that's, you know, led the wrong way or thinking the wrong things because of the show we're going to have today. But in order to make it a show that has a voice from all avenues, we have several ministers that we've spoken with on this subject today. One minister is here in the house, and we interviewed one minister long distance, and we have Mr. Motivators here. He is a minister as well. We have Louise is here, and we have Shannon, and we have Courtney. All of these people are familiar with church, the body of Christ. They've been in church. They've been going to church for many years. And so they're familiar with the surroundings and everything that's going on. Today we're going to talk about women fill the pews while men stay home. And we're wondering if this should be a growing concern in the body of Christ. Why the church buildings are filled with women on any given day for any given service.
Yes.
And the men are as scarce as hen teeth. So we're just wondering, you know, if anyone else has noticed that, because a lot of people seem to think it's a growing problem. Some of us feel that the problem has always been there, but no one is addressing it or has addressed it, because it may not be something that is in the forefront of your mind. But as we know the Bible, and as we say to at the head of every show, we're not here to preach to you. But if we're going to talk about a subject and we're going to get down to the truth of the matter, mm-hmm. we have to put the Word of God in it. We have to line it up with the Word of God, because God is the ultimate truth. In fact, He's the only truth. So if we don't address Christ, then we may as well give our opinion on everything. But as we come down to the conclusion of every show, we try to cut it off or nip it off with the Word of God, so that we'll know either we've gone too far right or too far left, or we just should stand still in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were saying just a moment ago, the women, if you will look at any churches that are on TV, mm-hmm. and you, when you see the camera pan the audience, you see mostly females.
Mm-hmm.
For the churches that's not on TV, you go to any church in anywhere in the United States of America, you see mostly females.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been getting to think about why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I know some women, and this is a growing concern, I would think, for married women, because you find married women have been going to church for years. Husbands don't even go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Because I do know that the Word of God said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men. So is he not being lifted up? Why is he not drawing these people's husbands? You know, what is the deal? So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to also discuss if this little phenomena is it denominational? Is it a cultural thing?
Mm-hmm.
Is it both? Do we see it in all aspects of the church, whether it's black, white, Hispanic? You know, where is this mostly seen, where women dominate everything? And though it's a good thing on one hand, but it's something wrong on the other hand.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we can all form the right thing in our mind to say why it's not a good thing. And I'm going to say I want to apologize to my audience and to my guests if I sound a little nasally, because I have sinus very bad. It's actually allergies. I have been sneezing all day, so my head feels like it weighs a ton, but we know God is able. So if you hear me sneezing, you will find that my panel will be able to go ahead and talk and carry on while I get myself together. So we're talking today on women fill the pews while men stay home. Now, let me first of all, before I let any of you that's present talk, I called a minister friend of mine long distance, and his name is Minister Herbert Wright. He lives in Fremont, Texas. He is a member in good standing of New Hope Baptist Church in Fremont, Texas. His pastor is the Reverend Tony Harper Sr. So I just want you to know that I did call him and I talked to him about his views. I said, you know, what is your take on this? Why is it that women are just crowding the church out, but there are very few men?
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we answer this, let me ask my panel, before I discuss with you what he said, let me ask my panel, do you see anything wrong with the lack of men in the church, or is that okay? Do you feel that there's something wrong with that, with men not being there?
Yes.
Okay, give us your views on that.
Well, why do we not say there's something wrong with that? Because men are supposed to be the foundation, the cornerstone of the family. So when you see mostly women that's running the thing, well, then everything just turns bottom size up. Because a lot of times, you know, women are somewhat more emotional than men. Men think logically, we think emotionally. So when you put a woman in charge of anything, you know, whether it's a church or an organization, you know, sometimes they get in one of those kicks, hey, I want to get this person out. They get that person out at any cost, any means necessary. Does that mean they have to take that person out and take their whole family with them? That's what they do.
Hmm.
So that's why I think that, you know, that's why I see that as a problem when you have mostly women in the church. And, of course, you're going to have that. It's not just in America, but you have that worldwide, because you can go to a lot of your eastern countries like India, Africa,
mm-hmm.
any of those,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to see more women in church than men. You know,
okay.
You're going to have that. So I can't say if it's just straight by itself, cultural or race or social economic, that transcends all areas.
Okay. One thing before we start to trying to come up with a solution, that I ask that question because sometimes things happen in the church and people don't think there's nothing wrong with it. But as Louise said, I do believe that there's something wrong because if men are heads of the family and they don't attend church, the scripture says we walk by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. How can you hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he's sent?
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't attend church, how are you hearing the word of God? How do you know? What are you letting mold your life? And, you know, how is that affecting your family?
Yeah.
You asked a pretty deep question, and I think when you mention the word life, I'd like to maybe piggyback off of that. Now, I don't want to say that I'm supportive of men not being in church, because I am not.
Mm-hmm.
And the church needs everyone. We need men, women, and children. That's what makes up the church body.
Right.
But I think when you mention that word life, and if you are faithful every day going to your church, okay, but if your life is not lining up with what you're preaching at home,
uh-huh.
if your life is not lining up with what you're saying to your family, I think that could affect me being a man wanting to go to church. If my
mm-hmm.
wife was meaner than a rattlesnake,
mm-hmm.
and she's always mad and looking for drama,
mm-hmm.
and then now, hey, I'm going to church. And if I was a man and I was dealing with that, I might be turned off at wanting to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, it's a two-way street. And vice versa, it's the same as a man, too. If a man is misbehaving and treating his wife very cruel, why would his wife want to go to church, or why would she want to reach out where he's trying to tell her something is going to be impact her life, but
mm-hmm.
yet he's meaner than a junkyard dog.
Right. I was going to say that that's really true. But listen, let's come up with something, the day-to-day reality. We have day-to-day reality. We have females that are in the church all the time.
Yes.
They're married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If their the light of Christ is shining in their life,
mm-hmm.
Has it blinded the husband? He can't see it? Or is it that the light is not shining? It's maybe lip service.
Now, that's a good one.
Because there's no way, the Bible says that he's going to draw from the light. The scripture said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father that's in heaven. How can your light shine and I ignore it? You know, and so maybe we should kind of come to that conclusion, and then maybe this will give us something to look at.
Well, I think you hit another good target.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the light is shining, it should draw somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But if the light is not shining, if it's a social club, if it's a social league where people get together and they screen out certain people and they have a clique or they talk about people, then that could affect their light from shining. But I believe if your light is shining, and your light is shining bright, it's going to touch someone. Someone's going to see the brightness from your life. And it's important that we let our life shine. You know, the scripture also says, you know, that if God is lifted up, the scripture says he'll draw all men unto him. And that's when we acknowledge God and we lift him up. And it reminds me of a young man I knew years ago. And when I would attend church, this young man would always be sitting there on the front row. And he was younger than me. And his word, every time a minister got in front of the pews to say something, he would say, lift him up. Lift him up. Yes, sir. Lift him up. And I was thinking, every time that young man said that, I could feel something when he said, yes, sir, lift him up. Mm-hmm. That young man was encouraging everyone to lift up Christ,
mm-hmm,
so that the light would shine. And if we lift him up, we're going to draw people. But if we lift up ourselves, mm-hmm, we're going to run people away because, mm-hmm, in our own selves, we're imperfect. You know, we have challenges, each of us, that we have to deal with.
Right. That's exactly right. And when I come to this conclusion, I believe that's why we have such an outpouring of evil,
mm-hmm,
in,
mm-hmm,
the world today. Because we don't have enough people standing for what's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we don't have enough people standing for what's right because people don't know what's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're left to our own devices.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever talked to our children? And my grandbaby says things to me all the time, and then he say, you know, Abuela, you was right. And I say, don't you know abuelas know everything? So she brought that back to haunt me,
mm-hmm,
today. She and I was in a store.
Mm-hmm.
And we had checked out, and I got a phone call that said, don't leave the store. Go pick up another item.
Yeah.
Well, I had the lady that worked in the store to watch our goods that we had already paid for.
Mm-hmm.
So I caught her hand, and we were running through the store to get the other stuff, and we got it.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, when you hold so many things in your hand, you don't know what you did with your car keys.
Ooh.
So we grabbed it and pulling the basket out and rushing out toward the car, and I said, oh, my God, where are my keys?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that I was holding in my hand,
mm-hmm,
was not, you know, my keys.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh, I probably left them in there on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, no, Abuela, they're in your purse. Well, I looked, you know, right on the top of my purse. They weren't there. So we went hauling back in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Got there, something said, settle down, open your purse. I opened my purse, dug through there. I said, oh, here they are. She said, see, Abuela, you don't listen. She said, children know everything.
Very smart young lady.
So I quickly, you know, corrected her. No, y'all don't know everything. But when she said that, we have to have confidence in that we're knowing the right thing, doing the right thing, and raising our families the right way, and being responsible for our families the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't, what's going to come of it? We're going to have everything except men and women of God.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have little bullies. We're going to have everything. We're going to raise up a nation of adults that sit up and shut down an entire government,
mm-hmm,
because they feel that what they're doing is right.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that you do that's against the word of God, that says you don't know God, you don't know his character, you don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I heard a lady say this last night, and she, it, I really hadn't thought about it in those terms.
Mm-hmm.
She said, the anointing of God is the power that destroys the yoke. It's going to destroy everything about your life that's not right. She said, but the anointing cost.
Mm-hmm.
How many people want to pay for anything? How many people want to become uncomfortable
Right.
in their life? I want everything to run smoothly. I want all the money in town. I want the biggest house. I want the biggest car. I want everything it is. I don't want to be uncomfortable one day.
Mm-hmm.
But the anointing costs. It's not always comfortable. You're not always going to have things your way. So I find myself looking, and I used to be one of those women. I'm a female. I'm a minister.
Mm-hmm.
I have been a controlled person, a controlled freak. You know, I'm controlled by everything. I want to make sure I run it my way. I want to make sure I do this. I want to make sure I do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first mistake that we make
mm-hmm.
when we put the I in it.
Mm-hmm.
Even men that are leaders, that are heads,
mm-hmm. yeah,
he can't think about himself. He has a family to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he does has to encompass his entire family.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's true.
And we need to be taught this.
Mm-hmm.
So the minister that I spoke with, that I did the interview with long distance, he is a teacher. I'm telling you, he can break that Bible down in ways that I didn't even dream you to break it down.
Mm-hmm.
But I asked him his thoughts on why women fill the church. And the first thing he said was, it goes back to Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Adam allowed the devil to usurp the authority of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that when that happened, Adam gave his power to the female, because the female is the one that enticed him.
Mm-hmm.
The instruction was given to him, but he was enticed by the female. So Satan has messed up everything, and he is allowed to do it generation after generation
mm-hmm.
after generation. Let's take the African-American female,
mm-hmm.
which I'm African-American.
Mm-hmm.
From slavery, from the beginning of time, we have had to be strong females.
Mm-hmm.
We have had to stand in the midst of adversity. We've had to stand when our husbands were being beaten. We had to stand when our children were being raped. We've had to stand when we were being raped.
Mm-hmm.
But that strength, Satan has used this to push us to a point where we don't know how not to be. You understand what I'm saying? We don't know when to, as what's the man that says you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them? One of my country and western things.
You got to know
Kenny
when
Rogers,
to
hold them.
No,
Kenny Rogers said a song, sang a song, you got to know when to hold. He was talking about gambling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you want to win in life, you've got to know when to hold them. You've got to know when to fold them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You've got to know when to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to know when to run.
Mm-hmm.
See, now we as African-American females, we don't know when to hold them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when to fold them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when to walk away. We don't know when to run, because we take running as a sign of cowardice.
Mm-hmm.
We don't walk away from something because that will say, you're a coward, you're a punk.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, the smarter you are to run from something, to walk away from something, you live to tell about it another day.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you sacrificed? And so are we talking about something that's geared to basically, when I say cultural, is it geared to basically African Americans? Is it geared to denominational? In other words, is it more prone for a Baptist church to be that way, or a Pentecostal church, or, you know, Methodist church?
I think you're right. It has a stretch into many parameters, into many different places, denominations, and people, because you can talk to policemen, and they'll tell you that domestic violence happens all over the place. And sometimes the biggest challenge is that some females don't know when to remove themselves from the relationship. And it escalates, and people end up committing violence, you know, in the home, because I believe that women are taught the stand,
mm-hmm.
and they want, you know, their marriage to work and everything, but sometimes domestic violence, it escalates, and you got to know when, as you said with Kenny Rogers, when to hold them and when to fold them, because some people may be at a place where things were just so hard for them in life, and they knew no other way to go but to drugs, the alcohol, and then holding a lot of emotion inside, they just snapped.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at TV, you see it all over the place where these people snap and take people's lives. Kind of like, you know, we talked in another show about this young man went into the home and not far from here in a suburb of Dallas. And he shot up everybody that he could see in that house, and he drove to another house with other relatives and shot them up.
Mm-hmm.
We all need to know, and even men, we need to know when to hold them and when to fold them. We need to know, hey, this is too much. I can't deal with this back. You know, get up. Let's get out of it. Let me remove myself from the premises. Kind of like my other favorite, Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson said, on the road again.
Mm-hmm.
And so Willie's like, hey, I'm getting on the road and I'm moving. This ain't working here. I'm pulling myself out.
But see, that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
The only time you get into that, our men get into situations that don't work,
yeah,
they're in there without God's guidance.
Uh-huh.
You know, the scripture said that the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So everywhere you walk, everywhere you step, man, God should order those steps, and you have no regrets.
Mm-hmm.
You have no reason to back up.
Mm-hmm.
You have no reason to do anything except go forth and do what you have been called to do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why I believe that there needs to be a different ratio of male and females in the church.
Mm-hmm.
We are so geared to do what man does. I promote male husband and wife, male and female. I promote them being as one in the church. But you find mostly the women sitting over here with the children, the man way over there somewhere trying to be, you know,
important.
Real holy and important. Your important job is to see that your family is ministered to, and that they are, you worship with them. You teach them how to worship. So, but you find that we've got our leaders, our big leaders. This is the deacon board sitting here. This is the deaconess corner. This is the prayer thing. People come together as a family. That's how you're going to
promote yourself as a family, not as one person.
Well, you hit it right on the mark. The family is the most important issue, that the most important unit
mm-hmm.
in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, that is one of the most neglected units in the church.
Of course.
When this group is over here, another group's over there, another group's over here, another group's over there, that's separation.
Uh-huh.
That's division.
Yes.
And when we separate ourselves from each other, I believe that we draw from each other. When you watch husbands and wives, when they love each other,
uh-huh.
and when Christ is in the center, they're a strong unit because they come together. The wife's strength becomes the husband's strength. The husband's
mm-hmm.
strength becomes the wife.
Mm-hmm.
And their weaknesses, they complement each other.
Exactly.
And they're a strong force to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're divided, and you know that we know that's the enemy's strategy,
that's
to divide
and conquer.
Exactly.
So when I don't know what it's going to take for us to do an about face.
First of all, y'all looking at this in a way because y'all know, y'all looking at it through God's eyes. The average married couple are together for convenience. The average married couple didn't seek God for their mate, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they feel like as long as they stay married, that's unity. They're not seeing worshiping together.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, men, it's more women in church because women think emotionally. God is an emotional God. You have to feel something. You can't, it's not tangible. You can't put your hand on it. So more women are more susceptible to reach for that thing that's unknown, that thing that makes them feel something. That's what draws them in. Then you have women, like you said earlier, who get in there, and they're not for real about it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the meanest people I know, some of the people with the blackest hearts are in the church. And everybody says, oh, that's where they're supposed to be. Yeah, but eventually a change will come. Because if you really change who you are on the inside,
mm-hmm.
either they said the word either draw you or run you away. So either that husband leave you alone,
mm-hmm.
or he's going to come join you in the church. But if that's not happening, that means that sister ain't doing what she's supposed to be doing in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank, period. That's it. No, oh, well, maybe, no. It ain't that. And I heard the question asked earlier, is it a cultural thing? Not really, but it's more black men missing church. Why? Because black church stays open past 7 o'clock. That's when the football game come on.
Mm-hmm.
Caucasian church is at 11:30 saying a little hallelujah. Oh. Everybody at home by the time 12 o'clock barbecuing or whatever they're doing things at the church.
Yeah.
But you got these sisters True. Who will shout for an hour at the front. The pastor don't get up to 1:30.
And they got to give testimony for 2 hours.
Yes, you got to testify on, you don't know about my God. I think we all serving the same God if we're at the church. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's, it holler, you don't know about my God. Okay, well, honey, who are you serving? Because I thought we were serving the same person. Obviously, we're not on the same, on the same page. So, with that being said, people have to realize that the women are going to church without their husbands. Number one, the husbands are complacent. That though, I'm not saying you can make somebody go to church with you because you can't. But if you were doing the right thing and carrying yourself and living how you're supposed to be living, then that man would have no choice but to say, you know what? I'm going to go to church with the lady. She, you know, she tripping. Let me go and go to church with her. But that's
all
you know,
so true.
That is the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
We as women don't want to admit that we slacking somewhere.
No,
but,
no.
You know, we go to church and fan and, woo, hallelujah,
mm-hmm.
and we speak in tongues and we shout. And the minute our husband come in the room, look, you low down so-and-so, don't you touch this, don't, you can't do that. Well, a man saying, where was all that holiness at first? You didn't know that you showed me first. And we don't trust our husband. We talk about him like, dog, if you think I'm kidding, go to and just let a bunch of women sit around in a conversation and let them just start talking
mm-hmm.
about their families.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my husband ain't about it. You know, I was in the store one day and this young lady walked in the store
and she was just up in her husband's face. So you don't like it because I did so and so and so? Well, I'm going to buy this and you don't like. And you know what? I had to say something to her.
Mm-hmm.
When he was around, when he went on to another aisle, I said, "Sister, don't you think you're a little harsh on your husband? I said, he's the head of your family. Girl, you have to do him like that or he won't do right."
Mm-hmm.
What you mean he won't do like you want him to do? But
again, it goes back to what I said. Number one, you were being nosy.
Noel, I couldn't hear
that. It wasn't received. That's why the Lord didn't direct it, so that's where he was wrong. Most women that you hear, go to the store with them. Where do you see the husband? Walking, pushing the bags with their hands in their pocket, and she, come on!
Mm-hmm.
That's what you hear. So everybody's talking about this United Front, they're supposed to go to church. Wow, you can't stand to be around her on Monday through Friday. Why are you going to sit up under her and have to sit by her on Sunday? And all vice versa. I know some women whose husbands are rude, a bunch of jerks. So why would I want to be sitting up under him, looking at him all day long when he tries to tell me what to do like he's my dad?
But then, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right.
She's right.
But
yes.
Let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
God, there's nothing God can't change if you presented to him.
That's right.
Now, I heard a minister one time who was preaching, and he was talking to a lot of the women that were at his church, and he was telling them how to get their, win their husbands over and to get them out coming to the church. And I'm not saying this is what I agree, but I'm just sharing with you what he said, and you can let me know how you feel about it. But he told the women, he said, hey, that man is not coming to church with you. He's not spending a lot of time with you. He said, you got to go. Remember your first love. Go back to the basics.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you need to get that all and pray over it and get you some Victoria's Secret and anoint everything. And he said, you go upstairs like one of them Victoria's Secret folks. And he said, that man will become a church. Now, what do you think about this?
Did God show up on the side of the bed and phone? No. Now, that's marital counseling. That's how to keep the fire in your marriage. That's
right.
Carnal thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about them going to church. Carnally, yeah, you both keep this fighting in your marriage, role play.
Mm-hmm.
Do all those things that you had to do to catch him or her.
Mm-hmm.
You have to continue up. And you don't throw all your artillery out there at one time. You got to ease a little bit. It gets boring after 12 years. You look at that same person.
Yeah.
So you have to keep the fire going, find ways to keep the excitement going, learn a dance routine, all these things. Yes, that's for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're trying to get that person, you can do all that at home. That don't mean that man or that woman is going to church with you.
Mm-hmm.
That does not mean that. What you need to do is read something on the inside of them that's, you know, not
and have
aroused and other things.
And how do
you
do
them in Christ. How do you do that? You have to show them there's a difference. The same thing that piqued your interest about Christ,
mm-hmm.
you got to ask Christ to pique their interest. Or they have to see something in you. If you were a fighter, somebody who always went off the handle, and then all of a sudden you're not going off the handle anymore, that husband or wife going to sit back and think, you're changing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, I'm going to go to church with you this Sunday.
Yeah.
You can't force anybody into anything. Anything you force them into, they're not going to do anyway.
Yeah.
Anything, any decision made in life, if a person does not make it based on them,
mm-hmm.
it will not stick.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that being said, again, take me back to these sisters who in the church, you don't know about my Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll shout. They got the biggest hat contest. They got the who going to shout up on the front and run to the back of the church. Who going to slap Sister Muriel on the fly? And then right after church, follow my side. Girl, did you see her? Baby, she thought she did something about my shoes. I went up there and showed them all. That's why I shouted and held my dress up here and kicked my leg out. Listen, I grew up in the church. I've heard the sisters, when they leave out the church, how did you pay attention to her if y'all both were shouting? That's why I don't
understand. If
you were in the spirit, mm-hmm. how did you know that Sister Muriel or Sister William wig sliding off? Girl, she knows she need a better wig than that. And that's your topic of conversation after you leave church.
Mm-hmm.
So you wonder why your mate don't come to church with you?
Mm-hmm.
Exhibit that. There you go.
It's called Let's Talk Truth.
Let's talk truth.
I'm telling you, you have to realize, Brother Courtney hadn't said anything throughout the thing. Maybe he's a, and I know Brother Courtney's in the church all the time. So we're going to
we're going to ask him to give us his thoughts. Why does he feel like there's so many women in the church and the men don't come?
Different reasons. Church usually caters to the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly...
Explain that. How do you mean it caters? The church or...
Churches. Not the church. Not
okay.
The churches around cater to most of everything. It's always a woman gathering, something like that. Only thing you got is for the man is for the men are the promise keepers and stuff like
the
that.
The singles ministry.
You know, but they don't have anything.
Oh, the man cave.
And there's nothing to draw a man in really no more. I mean, the word is supposed to draw you in, true enough, but there's nothing geared toward men that they do. It's always women.
But who?
Conferences and stuff like that.
Woman
and values, they know that women are in control of the pocket of the
purse.
Or the purses. So they know that's who they're going after. Let's just be real. That's all it's for. It's for money. So they know that they can get money more out of a woman than they can out of a man.
Right.
Then, too, you know, males, what do we have on Sunday? Sports, football. So. All this good stuff. So you see the majority of, like, men, you know, they want to watch football. They want to do all this kind of stuff.
Barbecue.
And
yeah.
Church just don't let out in time. You know, church
go,
you know, from 9 to 4. I mean, how much God can you brave? I mean,
but,
and then you have the...
This is true in a black church.
You have 4 services, you know, to try to accommodate, but somebody's going to stretch it all. And God is gone by the time, you know, by 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, God is gone. He's gone to the next church. And we just sitting down there rehashing the same old, same old. I'm going to say, God told you this. Somebody's going to get up there and say, God told you this. The same thing I just said, but in a different way.
Yeah.
So we sitting up there, we doing that repetition. Men ain't going to. We're not going to sit up there doing
it. Ego,
you're not,
yeah, you're not. I'm saying we think of watch how.
And that's the one thing. You think the church is messy for women. Men are messy in the church than the women. And that pushes out other men trying to come in there, because if you're not in a clique, when you go in there, you're ostracized.
Oh.
If you're not with the deacons, all the deacons hang together, all the senior deacons hang together, all the elders hang together, and this man thing pushes other men out.
Mm-hmm.
And they hang together to look at the missionaries,
mm-hmm.
the ones, people that ain't even their wives.
Let them use you, Lord.
I spoke with another gentleman from Houston, Joe C, that's what I call him, but we were talking about the topic we were going to be talking about tonight. And he was just saying that women go to church. They're there. He said, but the church is emphatically not in all women, even though
no.
they go.
See, the women,
they spend their
time there. They got choir, so they go there to show out. And they go to dress up. A lot of women go there to dress up.
Well, I saw they signed from an absentee husband who was out in the street. See, what if you ain't got your eyes on your man, somebody else do. That's plain and simple. You sitting up here, you keeping your time running behind Brother Wilkinson. Oh, he's got the homeless ministry. Your calendar is full of church events.
Mm-hmm.
But have you done anything to truly serve the Lord? No, you haven't. You're doing things out of habit or to say you need recognition.
One thing to serve the Lord is to spend time with your mate.
Yeah.
That's serving the Lord. People don't understand that.
Yeah.
When you're in the church, you have to make time for your mate. Because if you give all your time to the church and then you don't have none to your mate,
somebody will occupy their time.
Exactly. God,
Lord bless us. Well,
yeah, and they say, oh my God, well, I was in the church and you didn't have to be like, yeah, you were in the church doing nonsense. When I was at home, trying to date, go on date night. Let's do all this. You trying to occupy your time because you don't want to come home. You know, these things are,
that's true.
And it's prevalent in all churches, but more than in black churches.
That's true.
You know, Catholics, they get it over with. They go for mass early in the morning, and then they free the whole day. I'm not saying people's like, well, you work all day. You need to give God all day. Really? Really give God all day? If we're going to do that, then we need to shut down all these stores, and y'all need to not go to movies after church.
First,
because those people are working. Now, if you're going to say you need to give the Lord the whole day, I don't see you giving first more time than you give in church. Because you in there eating until they close. Everybody in the black churches, that's where they go after church. But then you say something about that. Well, you got to give the Lord his due. All y'all do is go to church to hear the
due comes through your day to day living.
Most people come to church just to hear the singing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what the pastor's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They looking at all the women are talking about the other women. Look at what she got on. So they
thought she did something. I killed them. If I killed them. Girl, yes, I would.
And then the men are looking at the backsides of all the women with the tight dresses. I'm like, ooh,
sister
drinking.
She got a
good future, but her past ain't bad neither.
Good. All right.
So seeing all this, it's just crazy. And nowadays,
yeah,
churches ain't nothing but. Like what we do when we go to the club, it ain't nothing but a hookup.
That's it.
All I'm doing is I'm going to find me a mate at the church.
That's it. It's that's why the single ministry is always boosted.
And they doing more fornicating and all that at church. And then Sunday,
and they won't shout about it.
Exactly.
And then you know what? If you go to a club. If it's a girl who looks nice and she dancing kind of provocatively, it's always going to be one skank. I bet you I'm out showing her. So she got to get up on the pole and flip upside down. Same thing happened in the church. You get one foot on one end shot and another one shot. Y'all put the shit all up down. She shot so hard, she take her wig off and throw it. Woo! And then my girl, she felt the spirit better. She didn't even care. She took that wig off. And that's just this man. How that she gonna dust up, girl? This is my $3,000 hair I done sold down there for Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, that's just so she can get accolades and recognition.
Mm-hmm.
So she can be like gawked, sought after by the men in the church and the women in the church who are weak enough to fall for it. Honey, she really did good. It's like cliques, like high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's like high school.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Go ahead.
And well, this is real quick, but there was one of them. We got to pray for him. I know one man, this man doesn't go to church and we got to pray for him, but he'd gone to church, and so they got ready to pray. And so after they got ready to pray, one of them looked down at the brother and said, Deacon Salisbury, those some pretty alligator shoes you have on. And all of a sudden he realized, he looked down, he didn't have on no alligator shoes. He was barefoot. He just had on some beach shoes, and it hurt his feelings. And he had business then.
We got to do better than that for our men. You know, our men are living.
Okay, it was a joke. So hopefully nobody's not taking it seriously.
And no, because you have probably offended the man who wore some little shoes you stick your toe in.
Yeah.
Wore them to church last Sunday. And he's wondering.
On the beach.
Did somebody see my feet?
You know, but listen, we need to really get serious, and we can only do it one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to be serious about my walk with Christ. Everyone has to be serious about your walk with Christ. You know, I think every day we don't have forever on this earth.
No, we don't.
And we're all purposed to do a particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't it be shameful if we reached the end and had not done what we were set forth to do?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. You just cannot do it. And I have been so here the past few months just really wanting to do everything that I've been called to do and to lift up our men,
mm-hmm.
and to make sure that we can give them the proper respect so that they can walk as our heads.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I haven't always felt that way. But I didn't know I should be feeling that way either. But now that I've heard the word of God and I understand my purpose and, you know, that's just for me to do. And we just need to, you know, understand that. And everything that Shannon and Courtney said is really true.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you guys, Louise and Chris Motivator said is true. The men that I interviewed long distance, they were on point.
Mm-hmm.
And if everyone can see what the problem is, aren't we tired of thinking we're pulling the wool over somebody's eyes or thinking we're getting away with something?
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting away with anything. And, you know, there's a reason if a church holds 3,000 people and 2,500 of those people are females.
Something is wrong. Yes.
It's absolutely wrong, and we need to start carrying ourselves in a different way and stop thinking that we are right, you know.
Yes.
We're not all right.
Yes.
So I guess it does a lot to me, and it does a lot to my heart when we find out that, you know, our men aren't being lifted up as they should be. Because we do have a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have a job to do. And I said the other day, women can do anything that a man can do.
Mm-hmm.
But why would we want to?
Yes.
I don't want to do everything a man does.
I hear you.
For sure.
I don't. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think that maybe I've allowed my time to pass, you know what I'm saying, because I was in this controlling mode. And you get to a point where you don't have anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so you wonder, okay, God, are you punishing me for that? Or maybe I just need to wait. And then when I think about waiting, how much time do we have to wait? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we've just got a job to do. We really do. Everyone in the body of Christ has a job to do. We have a mandate to carry ourselves that God might be able to draw through us. And women and our little females, oh, my God, they need help so bad. And our young men, they're just treating our females just horribly. And then want to treat one horribly and then think you can get a new one and attach it. You know, you're still that same horrible person, and you need to change.
Mm-hmm.
But where does change come about? Change comes about through the word of God. That's the only way.
Amen.
It's going to come about. It's through the word of God. And how do we get the word of God? You have to hear. You have to, you know, submit yourself.
Yes.
To hearing the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got so much, we always want to just do what we want to do. I want to do it my way.
Mm-hmm.
Who said that? What's the...
Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra said he did it his way, but he wasn't talking about the body of Christ. So we need to come off of our soapbox and stop talking about I did it my way. It's not going to work. It's not going to work like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so far off the mark. So we just got to start encouraging one another. Encourage our men. Encourage your husband. If you're dating somebody, encourage your little boyfriend. You know, that he might become your husband one day. And if that's not what God sent you, let it go. You know, we have to learn a lot about love in order to put people in their right position. And you may have a husband right now who's not quite walking like God wanted him to walk, but you stuck with him, so pray for him. You know, work with it. God will fix it. He'll fix it one way or the other. So I'm going to ask Shannon, you got any last-minute words you'd like to say?
No.
Okay. So we have to set examples for young Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
When she grows up and and a powerful man of God finds her, because she's a powerful little woman of God, when she gets married, which her dad will probably never let her do when she's 800 years old. Oh, okay. Well,
maybe.
Yeah, you will when you get old enough, when you finish college and get through serving the Lord and doing all these things, you'll get married. So we thank her for for being here. She's spending time on doing the show. So we thank her for being here. Thank you, Kennedy, for sitting in with us. Okay.
Also, I'd like to thank one of my friends who flew into town, and he's checking out the show tonight, Dr. Ray Scott. Hey, Dr. Ray Scott, where are you?
Why, Dr. Scott? It's so good to hear you. He's an awesome man of God,
yes,
and he has an awesome wife. She is an awesome woman,
yes,
of God.
She
honors her husband in everything she does, and that's not only does it make their marriage work,
mm-hmm.
God's blessings flow upon them
because
they are just on point. They're connected.
Yes,
so, I know both of them, and they're just awesome, jawsome. In fact, when I grow up, I'm going to treat my husband like that when I grow up and get a husband.
Amen.
What about you,
Louise? You going to do the same thing?
As long as I know he treats me right, too. Got to be both ways. You
but
know?
You know if God sent him, you think
God
going to send you somebody that's not going to treat you right?
I know God don't work that way.
No, he doesn't work
that way,
but that's just a good thing. And Mr. Motivator?
Yeah.
I know you.
I want to say hi to my friend Dupree, who's checking out our show tonight also.
Okay, all right, Mr. Dupree. We're just praying, Dupree, that God sends him to a powerful, powerful woman of God because of what he's purposed to do in his life. He's a young man,
yes.
And he's purposed, and I've already spoken into his life because it's there. He needs a powerful, powerful wife.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And Dijon.
Wherever Dijon is, we know he's an awesome young man as well, and he's always doing things to bless people, and he's probably taking food to somebody tonight.
Of course. And we're praying God sends him to a powerful female.
Mm-hmm.
And just thank God for Courtney. Courtney has a wonderful wife.
Yeah.
God just handpicked her himself.
Awesome. Yeah.
And we thank
wonderful
God
cook
for her. Yeah. They're just
awesome.
You know, we're working at trying to
your green room here.
Yes. The young lady in the green room. You know, God, I can just see a man standing over just waiting to tap on. So we just thank God for that. And prayerfully, she'll be in a submissive mood.
Oh, yes.
Okay?
Yes.
We have a few seconds left. And I want to say this. I've enjoyed being here and fellowshipping with everyone here on this broadcast. Women fill the pews while men stay home. Maybe after tonight, we won't have so many men stay home.
That's right. Come
and,
on out. Go out there.
And,
your woman.
If any of you want to write me, you can do so by emailing me at letstalktruth333@yahoo.com. That's LETS without the apostrophe. letstalktruth333@yahoo.com. You can also check out my blog page at www.loyce.com. Bullock, bullock.blogspot.com. Asking everyone to check it out, listen to the broadcast, and read a little inspirational tidbits that might help you along the way during the day's time. So with that said, we have a few seconds left, and I'm going to say this. I have enjoyed this broadcast, and if you liked it, bless you. If you didn't like it, bless you. So with that said, this is Lois Bullock. Let's Talk Truth. And I am loving you with the heart of God.